It's time to get real on the Reality Camp with your host, Stacey Campfield.
Got a spectacular show. I'm talking, this is corn dog on a stick at the fair type special show. I mean, it's just like, you get the regular corn dog. And it's okay sometimes when your mom makes it or whatever, you bake it in the oven. But when you go to the fair, it's like next level. It's like the foot-long corn dog, and it's like huge. And you can get like cheese to dip it in and all the extra sauces. That's what this show is. This show is just going to be like the super corn dog on a stick. You're going to love it. We got a special guest, Fletcher Armstrong, going to talk a little bit about COVID, the fun stuff and the big lies about COVID that are finally starting to come out. And of course, Joe Biden's just like the rolling tape. So we just rolled Joe Biden tape and all the stuff that was going on in the insurrection. We got some new video on the insurrection we're going to release to you soon. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
If you don't want to eat GMOs and pesticides in your storable food, choose organic, lab-tested storable food solutions from the Health Ranger store. We are the only emergency food manufacturer in the world that subjects each of our ingredients to rigorous laboratory testing that covers herbicides, heavy metals, aflatoxins, identity testing, and bacteria tests, including E. coli, salmonella, yeast, and mold. At healthrangerstore.com, you'll find certified organic, lab-tested, freeze-dried fruits, microalgae superfoods, protein powders, and supplements. We offer emergency first aid colloidal silver products made with Texas rainwater, and our Ranger buckets feature an impressive assortment of organic storable food items professionally vacuum sealed in heavy-duty bags that are stacked in rugged buckets for long-term storage. Check out our preparedness foods, supplements, personal care, and emergency first aid products at healthrangerstore.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Reality Camp. I'm Stacey Campbell. So good to be back after a one-week hiatus. We had to do some deep intellectual studies, things going on, a sabbatical, if you will, to go dig deep in the latest issues of the day. But we're back now, back for the attack. So much has been happening in the last couple of weeks. We're going to start off with one thing. Obviously, you've heard, I'm sure, about the train crash. And now it's almost like pushed aside. Nobody wants to talk about it anymore. A couple weeks ago, we had a video of the mayor drinking water from the filtration plant. Didn't talk about water drinking from people who have wells and things along those lines. Wanted to give everyone an update on how safe the water is now that the Biden administration has been working diligently to cure the issue.
And I just want to show you what this looks like. We're going to do this in real time. I'm going to move the camera over here. This is the water that flows in that we're being told is safe already. And I'm just going to throw a couple bricks into it. And you tell me what you see come out of there. This is what the people of East Palestine are being told is safe water. I asked the scientist what those bubbles were, because it comes up and it pops and you can taste it. You can smell it and you can taste it. It almost has, if you've ever dissected a dead pig, it has that sweet kind of death smell to it or taste to it. And every time that happens, every time that sediment is disturbed, that happens. Now, what's ironic is you've got these hay bales right there. I went 4 miles, I actually went 13 miles downstream to where the water meets the Ohio River. And all the way down, I went 4 miles out of town and the same thing happens. And all I can think about when I see these hay bales right here is it's almost like the masks they made us wear for the last 2.5 years telling us that this is going to keep it safe. As soon as you go past that hay bale right there into that water, the exact same thing happens.
Yeah, that doesn't look good. You got a couple, what are those hay bales? Is that their filtration system? Is that the filtration system? Is that what they would put in if it were Michigan or if it were in any of their little enclaves of liberalism? No, they'd have the Pete Buttigieg would be down there with a mop himself cleaning up that mess if it had happened in Martha's Vineyard. Pete Buttigieg would be all over that. But no, he finally showed up, made a brief appearance and a goofy hat. I swear, that helmet and that picture of Buttigieg, we'll try and show it. That's Dukakis in the tank. That picture is so gold. But, you know, they're claiming they've done some great work. I think we have some video of the Biden administration's team response to what's going on in Palestine. Now, let's roll that video. Yeah, I think everybody who is down there in actual Palestine, if they have well water, I'm not sure they're going to go with even what the Republican governor or any of them are going to say about drinking the water, how safe the water is. I don't see any of those politicians putting their kids in the water to go swimming in the summertime. I mean, it's probably still a little cold, but I don't think they'll be doing it anytime soon. It's pretty dangerous when you start trusting politicians to tell you when things are good. Something that really brought this out to me was Miss Cringe, as I like to call her, or Corinne Jean-Pierre, Cringe to my fans and audience. She had some words that I thought were pretty darn brilliant as to what's going on in the economy. Let's roll that video.
As it relates to inflation, our economists have been very clear. As you're asking me about data, they view the recent inflation data, or recent inflation more specifically, and jobs data as well, as evidence that the president's economic plan is working. We're seeing inflation started to moderate.
Our economists? I didn't realize you have our economists. Does that mean there's a your economists? Because if I look at my economy and where my economy is going, it's really not that good. If you look at your 401ks and things along those lines, actually, I'm doing very well, but there are a lot of people who aren't, and a lot of people who are having real issues. We could talk about almost everything in the farming and agriculture industry, people trying to get food, the cost of food. I mean, I know it used to be the most expensive ride I had was my car. Now I think it's going to my shopping cart when I go to Walmart to buy the groceries. I think there are reasons for this. Let's roll that video.
$7 a liter. When I go for my haircut, people say, wow, $7, Jerry, for a little bit of milk. I say, well, we have to go higher up because we have no say anymore as a dairy farmer on our own farm, because they make us dump it. And no matter how we stand up, so this time I'm going public. I want the people to see the pain that us growers have. 365 days as a little boy, we grew up on a dairy farm, came from Europe. Work, work, work.
So when Cringe says that our economy is doing great, I really just don't see it. I think there's a lot of things wrong, a lot of things people have a lot of serious concerns about. And I think with anybody who's a strategic thinker or a statistical thinker, when Cringe starts talking about our economists and our economy, I think they have a pretty common response.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
But the top news story of this week has got to go to Mr. Tucker Carlson and Fox News and a few others who have actually put out the video of the violent insurrection. We have some video here, probably haven't been seen on the mainstream media, of the violent insurrection and the masterminds planning violent insurrection, trying to overthrow the government. And everybody knows who the mastermind was besides Donald Trump. They all say, yes, Donald Trump was the mastermind. And then you've got the QAnon shaman, the guy dressed in a moose outfit, about how hard he was trying to overthrow the government through violence. And we have proof of this. that the Democrats were right all along, that this was a violent insurrection, and they were desperately trying to overthrow our government. Let's roll that video, that proof that shows the intention always was to overthrow the government through violence.
Listen up. The police here are willing to work with us and cooperate peacefully, like our First Amendment allows. Gather more Americans under the condition that they will come and gather peacefully to discuss what needs to be done to save our country. We're going to be heard. Everybody, this must be peaceful.
This has to be peaceful. We have the right to peacefully assemble.
Yeah, violence, maybe not so much. A lot of people, obviously, we saw the video ad nauseum for the last 2 years. We've seen people breaking in windows, and not to say that didn't happen. Not to say they were not bad actors. Honestly, I was there on the January 6th. Video recording for the TV station. I saw a lot of people who were clearly not Trump people. They were anarchists trying to stir people up. There's huge questions about some of the people. Were they paid actors? Were they paid possibly by Democrats to stir up the crowd, to stir up insurrection, to stir up violence? Were they members of the FBI really trying to do some of this? I think a lot of them were. But we were all fed one story. This was violent insurrection. They were tearing down halls. They were breaking down windows. And that did, some of those things did happen. But once people were in, a lot of people were just sort of just wandering around, taking pictures, doing selfies, walking in lines behind ropes. Let's actually go to the mastermind and the top ringleader once again and show how he was trying to overthrow government and how the security forces were just overwhelmed by this man and the violence that he brought.
These are the pictures you've seen of January 6th. They're familiar because they've been playing on a loop on every media outlet in America for the last 2 years. There's a reason for that. But it turns out there's quite a bit of video you haven't seen. And that video tells a very different story about what happened on January 6th. More than 40,000 hours of surveillance footage from in and around the Capitol have been withheld from the public. And once you see the video, you'll understand why. Taken as a whole, the video record does not support the claim that January 6th was an insurrection. In fact, it demolishes that claim. And that's exactly why the Democratic Party and its allies in the media prevented you from seeing it. By controlling the images you were allowed to view from January 6th, they controlled how the public understood that day. They could lie about what happened, and you would never know the difference. Those lies had a purpose. They created a pretext for a federal crackdown on opponents of the Uniparty in Washington.
Our office wanted to ensure that there was shock and awe, that we could charge as many people as possible.
The first thing you notice from viewing the full video record of January 6th is just how many people entered the Capitol building that day. Hundreds and hundreds of people, possibly thousands, over the course of about 2 hours. The crowd was enormous. A small percentage of them were hooligans. They committed vandalism. You've seen their pictures again and again. But the overwhelming majority weren't. They were peaceful, they were orderly and meek. These were not insurrectionists, they were sightseers. Footage from inside the Capitol overturns the story you've heard about January 6th. Protesters queue up in neat little lines. They give each other tours outside the speaker's office. They take cheerful selfies and they smile. They're not destroying the Capitol. They obviously revere the Capitol. They're there because they believe the election was stolen from them. They believe in the system. Here's the man you've heard referred to as the QAnon shaman outside the Senate chamber. These are not rioters. These are people who wandered over from a political rally.
We will not let them silence your voices.
After the rally, they walked down Pennsylvania Avenue, where organizers had secured a federal permit to hold a legal rally on the grounds of the Capitol.
I know that everyone here will soon be marching over to the Capitol building to peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard.
Once at the Capitol building, things began to get chaotic. Capitol police officers fired tear gas into the crowd. A few at the front of the herd broke windows. Someone opened the doors, and many hundreds of others just walked in.
We're gonna make that the story.
Of course, they did make it the story. And at the center of it, the single most famous person arrested that day was a Navy veteran from Arizona called Jacob Chansley, often referred to as the QAnon Shaman.
The so-called QAnon Shaman.
QAnon Shaman.
Someone named Q Shaman.
Jacob Chansley became the face of January 6th, a dangerous conspiracy theorist dressed in outlandish costume who led the violent insurrection to overthrow American democracy. For these crimes, Chansley was sentenced to nearly 4 years in prison, far more time than many violent criminals now receive. What did Jacob Chansley do to receive this punishment? To this day, there is dispute over how Chansley got into the Capitol building. But according to our review of the internal surveillance video, it is very clear what happened once he got inside. Virtually every moment of his time inside the Capitol was caught on tape. The tapes show that Capitol Police never stopped Jacob Chansley. They helped him. They acted as his tour guides. Here's video of Chansley in the Senate chamber. Capitol Police officers take him to multiple entrances and even try to open locked doors for him. We counted at least 9 officers who were within touching distance of unarmed Jacob Chansley. Not one of them even tried to slow him down. Chansley understood that Capitol Police were his allies. Video shows him giving thanks for them in a prayer on the floor of the Senate. Watch.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving the inspiration needed to these police officers to allow us in this building.
Contrast the reality of what Jacob Chansley did in the Capitol building on January 6th, the indisputable facts recorded on video, some of which has never before been seen, with the depiction of Jacob Chansley that you've seen in the media for more than 2 years. He's a terrorist, they said. He should be killed.
Shoot him. Shoot him. Like, you burst into the United States, if he was dressed like bin Laden, would you have shot him?
Shoot him. Shoot him. It makes you wonder, who are the violent extremists here? Not Jacob Chansley. And the video proves that. But you would never have known from the media coverage.
The people sitting in the chairs need to be sitting in a jail cell.
Chansley is in a jail cell. He's been there for months. If he was in fact committing such a grave crime, why didn't the officers who were standing right next to him place him under arrest? Until now, no one could even prove that even happened.
So, folks, the big question has to be, who can we trust? I mean, when you talk about all this, when we see all the information, the Capitol Hill Press Corps, the Capitol Police really made all these reports talking about how terrible all these Republicans were, or these people, these insurrection. I'm not going to say that they're all Republicans. I think a lot of the people who are the problem are really anarchists who are just looking for an opportunity to do damage. A lot of people I saw really fighting against them out in the plaza and places like that, trying to stop this from turning violent. And obviously, some of the people they called ringleaders were saying this can't be violent. We don't want violence. This is not what we want. There's tons of video out there of people opening up gates. And it's not the people, the insurrectionists, that are opening up the gates. It's the security forces. These are questions that need to be asked. These are questions that need to be answered. Because who can we trust? The FBI? I don't think so. I think it's been proven that we can't trust them. I think we have a lot of concerns about them. And I think a lot of people rightfully do have concerns about what part they played in this insurrection. Well, so much of it now is starting to turn around. Stories, timelines, everything's coming around. Talking about COVID, I think COVID is one of the big stories. And really the stuff that's all coming out now is really going to change the way people look at things. I think, well, our next guest, Mr. Fletcher Armstrong, statistics on a lot of these issues and what's happened and why it's happened. I think in the next segment is going to be very enlightening to a lot of people. So I think you all want to definitely hang around. But the FBI has come out with one thing that's very interesting. And people are finally able to say something that literally a year ago, you were thrown off the internet if you even dared to say it. Let's roll the video.
As you note, Brett, the FBI has for quite some time now assessed that the origins of the pandemic are most likely a potential lab incident in Wuhan. I should add that that our work related to this continues. I will just make the observation that the Chinese government seems to me has been doing its best to try to thwart and obfuscate the work here, the work that we're doing, the work that our U.S. government and close foreign partners are doing.
Anyone remember when this John Stewart thing was just thought of as so controversial? But all of us, like regular thinking people, were like, yeah, of course.
We owe a great debt of gratitude to science. Science has, in many ways, helped ease the suffering of this pandemic, which was more than likely caused by science. So, and that's kind of.
Hold on a second.
No. Listen.
I wouldn't do that to you.
What do you mean?
By, do you mean like there's a chance that this was created in a lab? There's an investigation.
A chance?
Well, if there's evidence, I'd love to hear it.
There's a novel respiratory coronavirus overtaking Wuhan, China. What do we do? Oh, you know who we could ask? The Wuhan novel respiratory coronavirus lab.
The global currency collapse will wipe out the dollar and many other assets, and the only things that will maintain value during the global debt reset are those with intrinsic value that do not require governments, corporations, or markets to make good on their obligations. At the top of this list of intrinsic assets is physical gold and silver. These precious metals have outlasted every failed civilization and government in human history, and they are non-digital, which means they still hold value even if the power grid fails. The Treasure Island Coins and Precious Metals Company is my go-to source for physical precious metals that are delivered securely and discreetly into your hands. Visit BrighteonMetals.com to check their live pricing and in-stock coins and bars. Find out why they are my trusted source for physical metals and why they're the official sponsor of Brighteon.tv. BrighteonMetals.com.
The Kelly Key easily converts your AR rifle to bolt action, allowing you to keep the rifle you love in assault weapon jurisdictions. The Kelly Key is a true fast drop-in solution. No permanent changes to your rifle. Import, transport, own, and have fun with your AR. Why the Kelly Key? Because a bolt action is not an assault weapon. Stay future ready from gun bans with the Kelly Key. The Kelly Key also lets you quickly and easily build your ideal hunting rifle, lets you build the quietest suppressed rifle, and benefits your long-range precision shooting. Available now at KellyKey.com with free shipping.
At the Brighteon store, we offer a variety of colloidal silver solutions that we make in Texas using Texas rainwater and specialized circuitry that I personally designed to produce silver ions in purified rainwater. We have a colloidal silver extra strength spray, a silver-based first aid gel, as well as a colloidal silver herbal mouthwash solution that people just rave about. Each one of these is subjected to our rigorous laboratory testing for metals, glyphosate, and microbiology in order to ensure product purity and safety for your health. We manufacture our own silver products right in the heart of Texas and deliver them to you using our own warehousing and fulfillment infrastructure that we built to serve real America. All of us here at Brighteon thank you for your support. Shop our silver products at BrighteonStore.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Reality Camp. Once again, I'm your host, Stacey Canfield. So happy to be here. So happy to be with all of you. And so happy to have my next guest, Mr. Fletcher, Dr. Fletcher Armstrong, statistical analysis doctorate. Is that correct? You have a doctorate in statistical analysis?
No, I have a PhD in engineering. I do have a minor in experimental statistics in my PhD program.
Okay. So you
and I did learn some things. I learned not to try this at home.
Don't try this at home?
But I can read, and I can understand what I read when I read statistical analysis.
So you have done some statistical analysis. And the reason I'm having you on the show, because one day we're just sitting down having a nice casual lunch, and we started talking about COVID. Mm-hmm. And I came to find out and realize you have really delved in deep on this issue.
I find it fascinating. I've told a lot of people, I wish I was going into graduate school right now. I would study some aspect of COVID. But all the truth is so made so controversial here in the United States, I almost think I might have to go to another country to study COVID. Because a lot of the good research is actually coming out of other countries because it's not been so politicized there.
So are you saying that the information is there, it's not allowed to be seen here, or it's just we put out different information?
Well, every country has its own way of evaluating things, but in other and managing data and understanding data. But when it comes to the vaccines, when it comes to side effects, all that kind of thing, it's just been so politicized that the information is there, but it's been so suppressed. Now, that's changing now, but any negative thing to say about the American policy has been depressed, suppressed in the media, the major media and social media. People have been canceled. People are called names. People have been gassed. We've been gaslit. Is that the right way to say it? We've been gaslit tremendously during this whole process. And now you're starting to see places like France, Denmark, the UK, have cut back significantly on their vaccine program. Most of those three countries are not in general advising people under age 50 to get the vaccine. And in this country, against all medical evidence, we're telling children to get the vaccine. And it's really quite sad, and it's dangerous too.
Well, let me ask you, you're a person, I'm not gonna say your age, but you're over 50.
I don't mind saying my age.
Okay.
It matters in this discussion. I'm 65.
Okay, but you're in great shape, very good, healthy person, obviously, at least to the outer appearance. Have you had the vaccine?
I have not. I did not get the vaccine. And I don't know if that was the right decision. It worked out well for me, so I've had the best result I could have. I have natural immunity. And I don't have any of the worry about any of the vaccine side effects.
Now, did you not get the vaccine for a reason? Did you study this before you decided and said, I'm going to look into this? I'm going to see. I mean, obviously, this has been going on for a couple of years. There's a lot of arguments out there, obviously, to get the vaccine. Before you said, no, I'm not going to get it, was there some point that you just said, I'm going to look into this first, or did you say, I'm not going to get it, and then I'm going to back up my research?
Well, when you go through what we've been through, if you decide not to get it, if you're smart, you have to make that decision again almost every day, because there's always new information and your understanding of the information is going to change over time. So I had to go through a continual process to say, no, not today. And it started out, I guess the first person that advised me to be careful about this vaccine was a guy named Alexander Pope. You may not know who he is. Most people wouldn't remember him. He was a poet in the 1700s. And he told my dad, now my dad did not live in the 1700s.
I was going to say, how old was your dad? My gosh, you're talking to your dad?
My dad went to school at the University of Tennessee.
You're lying about being 65, aren't you?
No. He went to school in the 40s, got a degree in engineering. And at that time, you had to get 2 years of English. So he had poetry and literature and all of that. See, then you could get a college degree and a college education at the same time.
Now it's sort of a contradiction almost,
I
really
know. So he studied poetry, and the thing that he always told me was, be not the first by whom the new is tried, nor the last to lay the old aside. And so I kind of, I internalized that. And so when this new vaccine came out, and it's not just that it's a new vaccine, it's a brand new mechanism. It's a new mechanism that has never been tried before. They actually inject genetic material into your arm, and theoretically it's supposed to turn some of your cells into spike generating, they generate spike protein. So your cells become co-opted and become factories of spike protein, and then your immune system is supposed to react against the spike protein. Now, there are many, many things that can go wrong with that. I didn't know what they all were, but I said, this is new, this is brand new, this has not been tested before. I think I'm gonna wait and see what happens. And then as time went on, I began to hear more and more people talk about, you know, bad reactions, including very debilitating reactions, just talking to different people.
Now, people always say, hey, and was it causation is not correlation is not causation. So, you know, you might have heard a story here, a story there. At what point did you say, wait a second, I need to look into the actual numbers of this versus, well, yeah, my buddy down the street who's a barber, you know, he talked about his cousin's second brother or whatever.
Well, it was more than that. I mean, my wife had a bad reaction to it. I did speak to a doctor who's a neurologist. He said he was treating a lot of vaccine injury. And he said that, you know, from what they're saying, they're not going to take it. The COVID deaths were being exaggerated, particularly in among young, healthy people. It's a very serious disease, and I wouldn't advise anybody to not take it seriously. I think a lot of people have died just because they didn't take it seriously early on. But I think that it's more dangerous for people in their 80s and beyond. So I didn't feel like I was as much risk as much as the hype made it out to be.
And but you've had members of your own family who have died from COVID, haven't you?
No.
What about your mother? I thought you said your mother.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, this was later on. This was in 2022. They said she died of COVID, but it was on the death certificate as COVID, but she wasn't. She was 95 years old. She was on this downhill slide and, you know, she got COVID. She had already been vaccinated. She got the monoclonal antibody.
You're treatment. Saying she wasn't the picture of health at 95 years old?
I'm sorry.
You no, mean you wasn't. Mean COVID stole her from you at 95?
Yeah,
when she would have lived
another 2 days.
You know? I mean, she didn't have COVID.
I'm sorry. That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
And so, but early on, that was even before early on. There was just too many people who said, "This is dangerous. It's more dangerous than they're letting on." The disease itself is dangerous, but it can be treated. And so I looked into early treatment and I prepared myself to be ready to treat myself if it became, you know, if I caught it.
Well, how would you, if you've studied this, let's take it step by step. Okay, what reasoning or statistically did you say, hey, these are my odds of actually getting this and having a serious problem with it? Being a person of good health, your age, whatever.
Well,
did you look into that?
Oh yeah, when the Delta wave started becoming evident in the fall of 2021, I looked at all the data that had been published in different places, and I estimated my own chance of death at 3 in 10,000 based on my age, health, you know, all of those things. I was wearing an N95 mask when I was around other people, so. 3 out of 10,000, and I knew that was kind of the upper limit. I could bracket that. I could reduce that by early treatment. Didn't know how much, and I don't know how much of those early treatment regimes actually are the ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine. I took those things. I'm not going to stand up here and say I know for sure they were effective. I took them.
Statistically, what did you find statistically that said, do these work? Do they not work?
Well, I don't know. I can't really answer that question. All I knew is that I calculated my own risk at 3 in 10,000, and I felt like I could reduce that risk with early treatment using all the things that people recommend, and some of which may or may not work. I didn't care. I was going to do them anyway. I didn't have to do that. I did it, but I had some false positives, so mm-hmm. I didn't really know if those things helped me because I didn't really have the disease. But
did you have problems getting them? I heard so many other people
have
problems.
Yeah, I did have problems getting them. So the first time it was a few days. By the second time I had a false positive test, man, I was ready. I had everything. I had a full regimen ready to go.
And did the pharmacy give you any static with it, or did the doctors give you any static with it? How did you get it?
You can find doctors and you can find pharmacists who are willing to fill a prescription.
Can you?
But when I calculated my own chance of death at 3 in 10,000. Then Rudyard Kipling helped me out. He was a poet, and he wrote in one of his poems, I think it's an old maxim, stick with the devil you know. And I could calculate the risk of death with COVID. What I could not calculate and did not know and could not know was the risk associated with the vaccine. And I felt like there's two risks with the vaccine. The short-term risk, which is knowable but unknown because they weren't releasing the data to us. And then there was the long-term risk, which was unknown and unknowable because these things had just come out. And we won't know what the long-term risk for another 10 or 20 years. And most vaccines take that long to bring to market for that very reason.
Do you think there is a concern with the mRNA vaccine?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, what would you say are the major concerns?
Well, the vaccine doesn't act like it supposed, like they said it would. They said that the mRNA particles would stay in your deltoid muscle. They don't. They migrate into the rest of your body for some people. What these mRNA particles do, the lipid nanoparticle takes the mRNA particle into the cell, wherever it goes. And in it, that cell then becomes co-opted, become a factory, if you will, for these spike proteins. And so if one of these mRNA particles finds its way into some of your heart cells, then your heart muscle cells become factories for these proteins, these spike proteins, and then your immune system attacks your heart cells. And so that's where this myocarditis and pericarditis come from. And then there are many things. These things are going into your ovaries. They're going into your brain.
My ovaries?
Well, not your ovaries.
Should I watch out for my ovaries? No. What statistical analysis has my ovaries at risk, Fletcher? That's
zero.
The one I want to know. Come on
zero,
now.
Zero, but
all right,
for,
I knew
for
it.
Women.
I knew it. I'm safe.
So it's causing all kinds of problems, clotting problems. It's causing problems. And over time now, just recently, I've been studying this data even as late as yesterday. In Europe and across the United States, there is a wave of excess deaths that cannot be explained by COVID itself. And some of the analysis have tied the deaths temporarily with coming right after the COVID vaccine mandates.
So are you saying the COVID vaccine is more of a risk? It puts people more at risk to catch COVID or to have bad effects from the vaccine?
Well, we know that it puts you at more risk to have bad effects from the vaccine. Obviously, if you don't have the vaccine, you don't have
that makes sense.
Problems.
I should say, is there more of a morbidity rate from the vaccine than there would be from say, just potentially getting COVID where it is right now?
Well, that depends. That depends. If you were in 2021 and you were old and you had morbidity, you might want to take the vaccine. It might have been a better bet for you to do. It might have been a better bet for me to do. Now, I took the bet to not do it, and that worked out better for me. But it could have been the other way around. But if you're today, it's a different bet because the Omicron variant is much less dangerous to you. It's much less virulent. There's a good antiviral now, Paxlovid, that's available. And so now you can treat yourself much better than you could. But if you take the vaccine, if you continue to take boosters, then you're still putting yourself at risk. And these are some risks are known, and long-term risk, I would assert, are not known.
So do you think it's better to get the vaccine now or just to skip it if you haven't gotten it already?
If you haven't gotten it already, if you've had the disease, don't get the vaccine, please.
I got a terrible cold, and I'm just curious.
Yeah.
Should I be coughing in your general direction?
I don't care.
You're just rolling the dice out there.
I've had COVID already. I might get it again, but I know that Paxlovid works, and if I get it again, I may take it or I may decide to ride it out. But there are options out there now that weren't available in 2021. And also the disease isn't good. And probably you've got some residual immunity left over from either having the disease or having previous vaccines.
Now, Fletcher, what do you think is the biggest impact of this whole COVID story, debacle, however you want to say it, good, bad, and different? Do you think there was was it the loss of trust in our government? What do you think really impacted? Was it the loss of life? Do you think people are at risk still? I mean, I saw something in Tennessee. It said, get the vaccine. It's 100% safe. It was a giant billboard. And they had them all over. And I couldn't believe it because I said, well, nothing is 100% safe.
Nothing is 100% safe. And these mRNA vaccines appear to be more dangerous than other vaccines. Other vaccines have been pulled off the market for less. Okay.
And what do you think is the impact of how people think about the government from that?
Well, I mean, when some people came out and said, look, there's studies all over the world that say ivermectin is effective. Well, people poo-pooed that and said, the government said, no, that's unproven. They said hydroxychloroquine is unproven. And on the FDA website, they cite a study that was done in a hospital saying that hydroxychloroquine is unproven, which is absurd, because by the time you're sick enough to go to the hospital, you're out of the viral stage, you're in the thrombosis, you're in the inflammation stage, and then into the thrombosis stage. An antiviral is not going to help you then. You needed to take it when you first got sick, not when you're going into the hospital. So when you get a hospital study that says this, we gave this to hospital patients, that's absurd. Don't even read it. It's not even worth reading. So there's a lot of information that's been misinterpreted out there.
How do you think that's impacted people's belief in the government?
They said these vaccines, these mRNA particles stay in your deltoid muscle. They don't. They said that vaccine immunity was not nearly as was better than natural immunity. It's not. They said masks would work. They don't. They said lockdowns.
But you still wear a mask.
I wore an N95 mask personally to protect myself. But as a policy that everybody should wear one of these things you get at Walgreens, that's proven to be not true. My N95 mask may not be effective either, but I did wear one.
Okay.
I want to be open-minded about these things.
All right. Well, that's fine. That's what I want to hear.
These lockdowns were terrible. I mean, they killed millions of people around the world. When our economy gets bad, people around the world, millions of people around the world were thrown into dire poverty because of our lockdowns and the lockdowns around other developed nations. They threw these developing nation people into dire poverty, and that had tremendous detrimental impact on health in these places. So it was.
So bad. You think people are less likely to trust government now? Should something else come along?
I think that's maybe one of the most dangerous things that's to come out of this is that now we don't trust our medical
professionals,
and maybe next time we'll need to.
Okay, Mr. Armstrong. Dr. Armstrong, I do appreciate you coming on the show today.
Glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much. Folks, I never like to close any show without saying, obviously we do this for fun. We have fun. We love poking fun at politicians, talking about the goofy stuff that goes on. But we do this not because we have hate in our heart for anyone. We don't. We really have a lot of love. And we do this because we want to lift people up. And we want to talk about things that make people happy and, you know, just poke their mind a little bit. But listen, if you're not happy, if you're not, things aren't going right for you, you can't see a way out, you don't see a new direction for you, you can't laugh at anything, you don't find joy in anything, I'm not going to be able to help you. This show's not going to be able to help you. No politician's going to be able to help you. There is someone who can help you. And if you open your heart to him and listen, I mean really listen, he can fill that void like nothing else will. You know who I'm talking about? I hope you do. Until next week, I'm Stacy Canfield from The Reality Camp. See you soon.